Well, one Sunday after a very long, boring sermon, as people were filing out of a church, a lady stopped and spoke kindly to the preacher. She said, "Pastor, today your sermon reminded me of the peace and love of God." The pastor was thrilled. No one had ever said anything that nice about his preaching before. And he said, "Tell me why." And she said, "Well, it reminded me of the peace of God because it surpassed understanding. And of the love of God because it seemed to endure forever." Well, I hope to receive a few nicer comments after we're done here today. But we're beginning in our Advent series for 2021. Advent is a time when the Church of Jesus Christ celebrates the birth of Jesus Christ, his coming into the world. Advent's also a time when the church prepares for and celebrates the fact that Jesus will indeed come again. We've entitled our series this year, "A Weary World Rejoices." It seems that our world is especially weary these days, and so we're prayerful that this series will be encouraging for all of us. During the series, we will consider four special gifts that Jesus brings: hope, peace, love, and joy. The order of these can vary, but we've chosen to consider peace first. So the title of our message today is "Peace in a World of Conflict." I might ask this: how is your peace quotient these days? I think this message is very timely for the days in which we live, as well as the fact that Christmas is coming. There's a painting that I've seen that's entitled "Peace." It depicts huge waves crashing against rugged crags on a seashore. It portrays the violence of a terrible storm. It actually seems anything but peaceful. But if you look way down at one corner of the painting, below the crags where the waves are crashing over, there's a little bird on her nest, and she's completely oblivious to the raging storm. That is peace. I want to be like that bird. I want to possess that kind of peace. Don't you? That will be our quest as we continue this morning. Would you pray with me? Father, you are a great and powerful God who brings peace into hearts when it seems there can be no peace. You sent your one and only Son into the world on a peace mission. We thank you for the Holy Spirit, our counselor, helper, and guide. Will you guide us into truth this morning? God, we want to worship you in spirit and in truth. Lord, we come into your gates with thanksgiving and your courts with praise. We continue to pray for our children and our schools in the midst of very difficult times. I pray for teachers and parents with very difficult decisions to make. May your spirit guide and direct. We pray for the Fells family and their grieving the loss of Larry. And we pray for many in our church family who need a touch from you, O Lord. We pray too for other churches gathering in our community today, that your word would go out and would not come back void, and that their fellowship would be sweet. And Lord, we grieve that there are those among us and many throughout our community and the world who are sheep, who are not yet of your fold. Would you join me in a minute for the missing? Pray silently for those you know who have not yet come to Christ. Lord, may today be a day of salvation for some. God, you are the wellspring of life, giving love and peace. Fill us with your spirit and your peace Let it renew us, transform us, and inspire us to love and serve you and others. And now, Lord, as we attend to your holy word, I pray your spirit would work mightily in our midst this morning. Please, Lord, give us open ears and hearts and minds to hear from you. May you have your way as we look into your word this morning. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. There's a blue insert in your bulletin. If you would like to pull that out, you can follow along with us today. As we consider this idea of peace this morning, we will consider some prophecy from the Old Testament. We will consider Jesus' own promise of peace. We will receive Paul's challenge to plea for peace. And we will reflect on the presence of Christ in us, the peace of Christ in us. We will discover that to know Jesus is to know peace. We will discover that if there is no Jesus in your life, there can be no peace. In fact, true and lasting peace comes only through a relationship with Jesus Christ. If you're here today and you don't yet have a relationship with Christ, I encourage you to open up and listen with your mind and your heart to God's voice as he speaks through his word. Our starting point today will be in the book of Isaiah. If you want to turn there in your Bibles, we will also have it up on the overhead, and it is in your insert as well. Isaiah chapter 9, we're going to look at verses 2, 6, and 7. Read along with me. The people who walked in darkness have seen a great light. Those who dwelt in a land of deep darkness, on them has light shone. For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder. And his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and of peace there will be no end, on the throne of David and over his kingdom, to establish it and uphold it with justice and with righteousness from this time forth and forevermore. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will do this. This is one of easily 300 and possibly as many as 400 prophecies in the Old Testament that Jesus fulfilled, depending on how you measure them. Each name of Jesus given here in verse 6 could be easily covered in a sermon all its own. Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. They all speak to his divine greatness. We're going to zero in today on Jesus as the Prince of Peace. It was prophesied centuries before he came that Jesus would be the Prince of Peace. That's the first blank in your outline today. As the video we watched portrayed, this Prince of Shalom has a special meaning. We often think of peace as a sense of calm with no conflict. We tend to define peace by what it is not, which is war or conflict. We reason that if there is no war, then there is peace. However, the word that is used in the Old Testament for peace is so much more than that. Shalom is indeed used to describe the ending of hostilities, but the word itself also pictures health and wholeness. It denotes harmony and completeness. To have shalom is not only to have a quiet, peaceful life, but also to be fulfilled in every way. This Prince of Peace was to come and be the giver of a full, complete, everything as all put together kind of peace that would dwell in the hearts of people. All things come together. All things come to completion in Christ. Isaiah 32, verses 16 through 18, gives us a good picture of this peace. Then justice will dwell in the wilderness, and righteousness abide in the fruitful field. And the effect of righteousness will be peace, and the result of righteousness, quietness, and trust forever. My people will abide in a peaceful habitation, in secure dwellings, in quiet resting places. That is the kind of peace available when the Prince of Peace comes. And he did come. It was announced by an angel. In Luke 2:14, we read, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among those with whom he is pleased." Jesus came just as Isaiah prophesied. Jesus was born of a virgin. He spent time in Egypt, as was prophesied. He increased in wisdom and in stature and in favor with God and man. He began his ministry at about the age of 30 and was tempted and yet without sin. He became an invincible presence who strode across the world stage. He taught about himself, his Father, the Spirit. Jesus healed the sick. He gave sight to the blind, turned water into wine, walked on water, raised the dead. And Jesus said this, John 14:27, "Peace I leave with you. My peace I give you. Not as the world gives do I give. Let not your hearts be troubled, neither let them be afraid." The Greek word used here, eirene, is peace with the implication of prosperity. It means a quietness and rest and one unified with Jesus, restored to God. It means having peace of mind and tranquility arising from a reconciliation with God. It means a sense of divine favor with peace, health, welfare, prosperity, every kind of good. It is a living, vibrant blessing for the well-being of mankind. True peace has nothing to do with a situation on the outside. It has everything to do with the condition on the inside. A person can be at peace no matter what the situation, no matter what the circumstances are. How is this possible? It is possible because Jesus is the Prince of Peace, and he will rule his kingdom in peace. Jesus is the author of peace, and Jesus gives us his peace. That's a wonderful promise. At some point, every believer has come to realize that dad and mom can't give you peace. Your spouse can't give you peace. Your job can't give you peace. Your family, your hobbies, your bank account, none of these can give you true and lasting peace. Only Jesus can give you peace, and he promised to give us just that. He said, "My peace I give you." Friends, that is a holy and blessed thing. That is otherworldly. That is heavenly. About 27 years before Jesus was born, Rome began to experience something unique that history called the Pax Romana, or the Peace of Rome. Beginning with the reign of Augustine, the Roman emperor at the time, and lasting until about 180 AD, about 200 years, Rome was at peace. Their Pax Romana offered something the world hadn't known for centuries, a nation at peace from war. There was peace from war in Rome, but there was no real peace within the hearts of people. There were troubled souls in spite of the fact that Rome itself was at peace. So when the angels sang that the Messiah had come, they were declaring that God was offering something Rome could not give. Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace to men on whom his favor rests. At the height of the Pax Romana of Rome, the angels of God declared that a newborn baby was going to offer a new and different kind of peace, something better than the world could offer. What is it like to have the kind of peace that Jesus gives? Jesus said he offered a different kind of peace than the world gives. Again, it is not just the absence of conflict and turmoil, but the positive blessing of a right relationship with God. Do you have that peace in your life today? It's available to all who would repent of their sins and trust Jesus as Savior, and his peace then comes. Listen to Philippians. There's one primary reason, though, why many people don't have peace, and that is because they worry too much. The Bible is very clear on how to deal with that. Listen to Philippians 4, 6, and 7. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds in Jesus Christ. In a Peanuts comic strip, Charlie Brown says to Linus, "I worry about school a lot." He thought a little longer and said, "I worry about worrying so much about school." After a little further reflection, he said, "My anxieties have anxieties." Can you identify at all with Charlie Brown? Do you worry about homework, your test, your job, your bills, your children, your investments, the future, the past? There's surely no peace in that. 1 Peter 5, 7 says this, casting your cares, your anxieties on him because he cares for you. There is a place to go with our worries. The old song says, don't worry, be happy. Worry just steals peace from us. What good does it do for us to worry? The answer is no good at all. All of our worry is wasted. Listen to the words of Jesus in Matthew 6, 27. And which of you, by being anxious, can add a single hour to your span of life? So what should we worry about? What should we be stressed out about? Listen to Jesus' words a little later in Matthew chapter 6, verses 31 and 32. Therefore, do not be anxious, saying, what shall we eat? Or what shall we drink? Or what shall we wear? For the Gentiles seek after all these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them. What is the opposite of worry or anxiety? Some words I found in my dictionary were security, comfort, solace, and relief, which can all be summed up in the single word, peace. Doesn't that sound like more fun than being a worrywart? The summary of Jesus' words on this is Matthew 6, 34, when he says, therefore, do not be anxious about tomorrow, for tomorrow will be anxious for itself. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble. You may notice there's a qualifier to this direction in Philippians 6, 4, 6, to not be anxious. It says, do not be anxious about anything. That means don't worry about your upcoming finals. That means don't worry about yourself. It means don't worry about the bills. Don't worry about anything. Don't worry about tomorrow. But you say, Dan, that's easy for you to say, but how in the world do I do that? Well, we must pray our worries away. You remember the 23rd Psalm, right? The Lord is my shepherd, so I shall worry myself to death. No, the simple answer from these verses is don't panic, pray. We must plead with God. We must turn our worries into prayers. Prayer brings true and lasting peace. Again, there are qualifications to this tactic of prayer. The first one is this: if you're not going to be anxious about anything, then you need to pray about everything. I want to encourage you to consider at least one issue in your life that you worry about. And instead of worrying about it this week, spend the time you would worry about it praying about it. Do you want to worry less? Then pray more. Take the time you would spend worrying and spend it praying. See how that leads to peace in your soul. 1 Thessalonians 5:16 through 18 says it this way. Rejoice always, pray without ceasing, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. Circumstances will change, but the Prince of Peace is always on call. No busy signals. The first verse we taught our children when they were small was Matthew 7:7. Ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened to you. Well, you might say, well, that sounds like a rather selfish thing to be teaching them right off the bat that God would give them anything they want. But you know what? We wanted them to be selfish with God. We wanted them to go to God about everything. We wanted them to have a personal relationship with God. We wanted God to be their answer in all things. Not mom and dad, not their teachers, not their friends, certainly not their culture. Only God could give them real peace. The second condition or qualification of prayer given in verse 6 is that it is to be done with thanksgiving. It says, in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, to pray with an attitude of gratitude for all of God's grace and mercy in your life. Again, in 1 Thessalonians, it says, pray without ceasing or continually. Give thanks in everything. Thanksgiving reminds us of what God has done and of what he can do. So what is the secret power to Christian living? It is prayer. Well, there, it's not a secret anymore. We've let the cat out of the bag. Pray with thanksgiving, always, and see if you don't have a power in your life never before realized and a peace that surpasses understanding. Cast your cares, your worries upon God. He really does care for you. By prayers and petitions with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. We are here on earth, but the Bible says that we can penetrate heaven. We can march boldly into God's throne room by our prayers. When I was a youth pastor, we had periodic activities with the youth group we called Friday Faith Field Trips. One Friday, we did a prayer walk through our neighborhood. We stopped in front of 26 different houses and prayed for their inhabitants. We challenged each of our students to do the same for their own neighbors. We also challenged them that prayer is the most powerful gift given to them by God and to be used often. By doing so, by letting go of our worries and praying continually and faithfully, we can arrive at the harbor of personal peace, a peaceful heart and mind. It's a wonderful place to be. No worries, no angst, no fretting, just joyful peace. It's a peace from God that is unworldly. It's not understandable. It's supernatural. We can't comprehend it, but it guards our hearts and minds. It's an internal, eternal calm, a disposition to trust and love God sincerely and completely. The opposite of peace is war, strife, worry, anxiety, and they are running rampant in this world. Where there is no Prince of Peace, there is no peace. The word translated guard is a military term, meaning to set up a garrison around. In other words, God protects our hearts and minds like an army protects its vital resources. How should the peace of God affect us? It is demonstrated by a joyful and prayerful perspective that rises above the circumstances of life in such a way that others see that we are distinctly different because we possess a peace that is beyond their and our own understanding. People will notice that we are different because Jesus makes such a difference in our lives. A weary world will look at us and marvel as we rejoice in heavenly peace. We look forward to and continually serve until the Prince of Peace comes again. There is a presence of peace in our lives. Jesus is our peace. We have one who has cracked the peace barrier, so to speak, and he resides in us. This idea is captured in Ephesians 2, 13 through 15. But now in Christ Jesus, you who were once far off have been brought near by the blood of Christ. For he himself is our peace, who has made us both one and has broken down in his flesh the dividing wall of hostility by abolishing the law of commandments expressed in ordinances, that he might create in himself one new man in place of the two, so making peace. I want to pause briefly at this point. I mentioned early on that if you came here today without faith in God, without having a relationship with Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, I encourage you to really listen with your heart and mind. Well, now's the time to really listen up. This is what Jesus, the Prince of Peace, has done for you. He did it for me. He did it for everyone here. Please pay close attention. In the Old Testament times, there was a division between two groups of people, the Jews, who were God's chosen people, and the Gentiles, or anyone who wasn't a Jew. There was a covenant that God had made with the nation of Israel, and non-Jews were not part of it and had little hope in the world. But it tells us in verse 13 that then Jesus Christ came and shed his blood on a cross so that barrier could be broken. Jesus makes peace in this life possible by his saving work. He brought peace on earth and goodwill toward all people. He is our peace. His presence brings satisfying, full, enduring peace. Without knowing Christ, we lack peace. So if you're here today and you don't have that peace that only Jesus can give, I want you to know that it is available to you. Do you want to have peace in this world of conflict? It is available to all people, Jews and Gentiles, black and white, any race, male and female, short and tall, fat and skinny, nice or mean, pleasant or grumpy. You name it. John 3:16 says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever, whatever race you are, whether you're a shrimp like me or tall like Bill, whoever believes in him will not perish but will have everlasting life." As you sit in your seat there this morning, you are in one of two groups of people: those who know God and have a relationship with Jesus Christ, and those who don't. If you're in the second group, let me share with you how you can come to know God. The Bible says that we've all sinned. We've all fallen short of the glory of God, every one of us. But it also says that while we were still sinners, Jesus Christ died for us. It says that the wages of our sins is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ. So what do you do with the gift? You can't buy it. You can't pay for it. You can't earn it. You just receive it. The way you receive the gift of eternal life is by confessing your rebellion to God, repenting of your sins, and placing your trust in Jesus to come into your life and save you. I did that as a young adult, and I have enjoyed a relationship with the Prince of Peace, and he has brought a wonderful peace into my heart and life. If you're here today without peace, that peace, I pray that you might receive that peace by receiving Jesus Christ as Savior and Lord. It would be the greatest Christmas present you would ever receive. Jesus died on a cross for your sins and mine. And then he rose again and he broke death's grip on us. We're going to pause right now and bow our heads and pray. And if you're ready and want to, you can pray this prayer silently after me. Father God, I acknowledge that I have sinned over and over against you. Lord, I am really sorry about that. And I want to turn from my sin and turn to you. I ask you to forgive my sins, to come into my life, to fill me with your Holy Spirit. I trust you to do that, and I thank you. In Jesus' name, amen. If you prayed that prayer, I would encourage you to talk with me after or to someone else you know here. I would have you know that the angels are rejoicing in heaven over a single person who has been saved. Many of us in this weary world rejoice with you as well. Friends, the Prince of Peace has come. His presence is with us this morning. Let me close with the words of Hebrews 13:20. And 21 as a benediction. Now may the God of peace, who brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus, the great shepherd of the sheep, by the blood of the eternal covenant, equip you with everything good that you may do his will, working in us that which is pleasing in his sight through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen.